Thank you so much. This week, we are revisiting some of our visits with people who have an odd job, convincing you, by any means possible, to make reflexive vocalizations indicating amusement. And they're not allowed to tickle you.
Drew Carey was a stand-up before starring in his own hit sitcom, The Drew Carey Show. Then once he was a star and could do anything he wanted to do, he decided to become, of all things, a game show host.
Imagine that.
When he joined us along with Luke Burbank, Paula Poundstone, and Mo Rockup in February of 2008, we asked him why.
Because I love giving away other people's money.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing. I'm telling you, I think like everything in my life led me to be the host of The Price is Right, because it's full of regular people. They just stand in line and they get on the show. I get to give away cash. People are real excited. It's a studio just full of love and happiness and joy. I love being in that environment. I couldn't have picked a better job, honestly.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you ever feel weird when it's like a college student and you reveal the prize and it's like a huge chandelier and a mahogany china closet?
All the time. It's always like a lovely grandfather clock, and you also get supplements.
Yeah.
That'll go awesome in the frat.
Yeah, every college kid needs garlic.
Drew, you took over, of course, in one of the great legends of entertainment, the silver-haired Bob Barker himself.
Uh-huh.
Was that intimidating?
No, because he gave me his blessing.
Really? Was there like a transfer of power, a coronation? Did he knight you with the wand-like microphone?
Oh, you didn't see the special on CNN?
No.
It was like the Pope. There was smoke that came from a chimney.
Yeah, exactly. Successful. We have selected a host.
The CBS executives, they all met in Rome.
Yeah.
He did it on an interview, and I told CBS, I said, I'd only do it if Bob, you know, said it was cool. And then Bob, that was his exact quote. He says, it's cool with me.
What's your favorite game?
I like spinning the wheel, actually. And I like the Yodely Guy game where he falls off the cliff.
Mountain Climber?
Yeah, Mountain Climbers. Yeah. But all my friends call it the Yodely Guy game. And the reason I like it is because, you know, the farther off you are on guessing the price of something, the higher up the guy goes up the mountain. And at the end, if you're too much, he goes off the edge of the mountain and dies.
A grisly death.
Yeah. Really grisly death. And he has this little smile on his face, and they play this, it's really happy yodely music, and he's just marching up the mountain. He doesn't know what's happening.
He's like one of the Von Trapps going over the Alps.
Yeah, going for a walk, and then he just goes off the side of the cliff.
We have on this show, specifically Paula has on this show, made some comments about Cleveland. Listeners in Cleveland were not... You don't even remember this, Paula, but...
No, I don't.
It's a show we did in Berkeley. We've rebroadcast it a couple times, and you make these jokes about Cleveland. And so since we've got you, Cleveland's most famous native son, if you will, I was wondering, could you tell us right now some great things about Cleveland? Why Cleveland rocks, if you will.
Oh, the reason I like Cleveland so much is it's like... you know what it is? It's like a little mini Chicago. Everything you would like about Chicago is in Cleveland. But Cleveland, to me, is a more manageable size. You can get from one side of the town to the other in like 20 minutes.
Does it have a tram, like a nice sort of transportation system?
The bus system is really good in Cleveland. As a matter of fact, I used to take the bus all the time when I was growing up.
And crosstown and uptown and downtown.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you say. You say to the friendly guy on the bus, you say, take me uptown, and he takes you right there.
That's great.
He doesn't have
He gives you a tip of the hat. Yeah. He rubs your hair.
Drew, he doesn't have a predetermined route?
Do you get back there a lot, Drew?
I don't get back as often as I'd like to, but, you know...
Often exactly do you get back there?
As long as the buses are running.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You get on an airplane and you say, take me to Cleveland.
To Uptown.
Hey, as long as if you're going to New York, why don't you drop me off in Cleveland? I'm
Well, Drew Carey, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You're the very nicest person ever to appear on television.
We're not referring to you, of course.
I know.
It was 40 years ago this week that an ordained Presbyterian minister named Fred Rogers stepped in front of a TV camera to put on a red cardigan for the first time. In honor of the late, great Mr. Rogers, we're going to ask you three questions about him. It's taken from a list put together by Mental Floss magazine.
Oh, man.
Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their home answering machine.
All right.
And maybe you'll learn a little something for use in your own show.
All right.
Corva, who is Drew Carey playing for?
Ellen Nixon in Houston, Texas.
First question about Mr. Rogers.
All right.
He was hugely popular, of course, among multiple generations of children. Mm-hmm. And their children when they grew up. But he had one rather surprising but very enthusiastic fan. Who was it? A, North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il. B, Coco the talking gorilla. Or C, Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Kim Jong-il.
No, it was Coco the gorilla. That was the
What's
famous
the
gorilla. Yeah, wow. That was the famous gorilla that learned to use American Sign Language to communicate. She was also a very big fan of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And when Fred visited her in California, she gave him a big hug and then immediately bent down and took off his shoes.
Really?
Wow.
Now, you still have two more chances here.
All right.
Here we go. Mr. Rogers not only entertained and comforted generations of children, he had a profound effect on the history of the entertainment industry. How? Was it A, wanting the audience's viewpoint to be more like that of an active child, he invented the modern television camera dolly. B, he almost single-handedly saved the VCR by convincing the Supreme Court that taping his shows would be fine with him. Or C, not wanting to scare children, he developed the natural-looking TV makeup still used today.
Thank Pornography you. Saved the VCR. I don't believe the third one. I'd say A.
You're going to go for A, that he invented the modern camera dolly so it could move around?
Ooh, that feels right.
It feels right, Mo?
No, he didn't invent the camera dolly because the camera dolly was invented for movies. It's probably the VCR.
Is that your choice?
Yeah, B.
You're right. Very good. You figured it out. That's exactly what happened.
Oh, my gosh.
In the 70s, the movie studios sued the makers of video recorders. They said their machines would infringe on their patent by recording their material. But Fred Rogers testified that taping his show would allow parents to watch it with their kids. He conceived of time shifting, you see.
Right.
And thus he thought VCRs would be a good thing. The Supreme Court cited his testimony in their seminal decision, Sony versus Universal, which made VCRs legal. So it was Fred Rogers and porn.
Yeah.
That saved the
winning
VCR.
Combination.
Yeah. Last question. By the end of his career, Mr. Rogers was a universally beloved figure, especially in his hometown of Pittsburgh, as evidenced by what incident? A, when Premonti Brothers, the famous Pittsburgh sandwich shop, made fun of him with a, quote, Mr. Rogers bland sandwich. They had not a single customer walk into their store until they apologized.
Wow.
Was it B, people would line up on the deck of the pool where he swam every morning just to applaud him when he finished? Or C, when the local news reported his car had been stolen, it was returned the next day with a note reading, quote, if we'd known it was yours, we never would have taken it.
Oh, Jesus, they're all so heartwarming. I want them all to be right.
Yeah.
It's not B. People didn't line up to watch him swim. I doubt that they would ever invent a bland sandwich and that nobody would walk in there.
Right.
See, people walk in there. Sorry. People walk into that place no matter what. They walk in there when they're drunk. They're not going to care about Mr. Rogers. So I'll say it was C.
You're going to go with C, that they gave him his car back?
Yeah.
You're right. Oh. Very good. That's what happened.
Yay. So happy everyone.
That is impressive deduction.
I'm really
Carey.
Impressed about your knowledge of drunk dining at Premonti Brothers, because you're absolutely right about that.
Instead of getting LoJack, I'm going to put a sign on my car that says, this car belongs to Mr. Rogers.
Yes, very smart. Yeah.
Corva, how did Drew Carey do in our quiz?
Well, Peter, Drew got 2 out of 3 correct, and so he's 1 for Ellen Nixon.
Congratulations.
Hey, Ellen.
Well done.
I'm so nervous about losing on the show, I can't tell you.
No, man, you pulled it off. It was great. Drew Carey is the host of The Price is Right. You can also see him on The Power of 10 and Whose Line Is It Anyway? Drew Carey, thank you so much for joining us.
My
what
pleasure,
a pleasure to have you.
It was a real honor. Thank you.
Oh, it was an honor to have you. Bye-bye, Drew.
Bye.